This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And as I was saying, we'll spend a lot of time on scams tonight. In fact, I'm delighted to see Jay's going to be our first caller, and he'll be talking about that. But, and believe me, there's an endless supply of reasons to blame the post office, but got another issue with the post office today, and in some ways, I feel it's a graphic demonstration of government logic. Now, maybe I'm missing the boat here and just don't understand, but let me lay it out for you. All right, there's a big post office in Mesa, Arizona. It's sort of a regional deal. And it has a line so you can drive through and drop your mail in the boxes. It's got about five boxes, you know, for stamped mail and for metered mail and for mail from hell, I don't know, but five of them. And for years, you drive through and, of course, you roll down your window. And for the most part, you just put the mail right in the chute. They've replaced the boxes. Okay. By the way, the drive-thru is, of course, one way, and it's cordoned off with cement. So when you get in this lane, you're not getting out of it until you get to the end of it and you're leaving. Now, normally that's fairly orderly. Sometimes I'll see four or five cars, but everybody goes fairly quickly and all's well. Not anymore. So all five post office boxes were removed and replaced with spiffy new post office boxes. They are facing the wrong direction. All right, in other words, in order to mail a letter from the drive-through lane, you must exit your car, get up on the cement, walk around to the front of the box, and place your letter in it. And there's a whole thing about how you do that, too. It's not as simple as, you know, pull down the handle and put the mail in. And I understand that they're trying to combat fraud. I get that. Why on earth would you have the chute away from the drive-through lane? Now, if you know, see, maybe I'm missing the point here. Explain this to me, because I've been thinking about this for hours now, and nothing I come up with works on any level. So, yeah, I said, maybe it was a mistake, and John assured me that, oh, no, the government doesn't make mistakes. Yeah, not of that kind anyway. So, what's the deal, and have you encountered it elsewhere? 888-876-5593. Now, that said, let's welcome Jay from Tucson, and I think Green Valley, actually, but the Tucson area to WGN Radio. So, Jay, how's it going tonight?
Hi, how are you all? It's good to talk to John and to you again.
Yes, I'm delighted. I'm delighted that you called. And you know, okay. I know you all know all about scams. We've talked about this in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've been tracking a new one, and it's kind of insidious. And I'll try and keep it short. It's the Indian scammers again, and it's Medicare fraud, or they've been working with the brokers, insurance brokers. Mm-hmm. They are pre-qualifying for, they're calling people who are, doesn't matter if you're on the do not call list or whatever, right. They're calling you and talking to you about your Medicare. You can get you a better program. They'll assign you an insurance agent and get you lined up, and you'll save money, and you do all this. And that part of it is true. And insurance brokers are using them. Some are aware that they're using people who are calling on the do not call list. some are not. And they actually do switch you over to somebody in the States who is an insurance broker. That's part one. Part two is these Indians, they stay on the line. They do not drop the line on the transfer. So they're listening in the background. So as you're talking to this insurance broker, giving them all kinds of information, they're taking it down.
Now, this is beyond insidious, because what you were saying is that they're actually being employed by entities here to place the calls. And it's not uncommon, of course, that that individuals and brokerages would want to have a third party do this so they don't have to go through, you know, a zillion calls themselves that are not qualified and not interested. All right. So they are actually employing these people, and the people who are taking the money have a side hustle going on whereby they get your social security number or what else and can create identity theft. Now, if you know this, the brokers know this. And if the brokers know this, why is this still going on?
I don't know if the brokers know that the Indians are still listening.
Well,
I think...
Yeah, but how do you... Okay, Jay, how do you know this?
Because I've done it. There's a whole group of people all around the world. They are called scam baiters.
Right.
We're going to scam baiting again. So I get these calls all the time, and I go through the whole system and play along like, hey, yeah, I'm 78 years old. And you make up a name, and you follow along, and you play the game, and you get transferred over, and then you talk to these brokers and find out who they are, where they are. And that's how I know.
But how do you know that the Indians are nefariously taking down and using the information?
Okay. On some of these calls that I've done and other calls that other people have done, and you can hear these calls thanks to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and listen to scam baiters, and one real good guy, his name is Jim Browning.
Okay.
And if you listen to his YouTube videos or vlogs, you'll hear the latest and greatest. And then there's other people, and I won't, there's too many names to go
through. Right, no. But what?
Okay. So how do I know this? Because I'll start talking to these brokers, and I say, is there a number you can, and I start questioning some of these brokers, and all of a sudden, the call is dropped. Now, I've done that several times.
That's interesting.
And then several times I'll be talking to the broker and stuff like that and play along till I can hear the Indian scammer drop off the line. Then I'll have the broker, I say, call me. I give them my number, and they call me directly. And then I'll question them, and they said, well, I don't know. Our company, I'm a broker, and we've got a bunch of people, and we hire these companies to get us, you know,
leads.
Pre-qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I know.
Well, right. So, but what I'm getting at is, and I don't doubt it for a minute, by the way, I'm not questioning the accuracy. Where I'm going with this is that I would think in any court of law, the broker should know and could know, but are ignoring it.
They know that they're using call centers out of India to do pre-quals.
Right.
I don't think they care too much about if they're on the do not call list or not.
Right. No, well, absolutely. But it seems like they also don't care if the potential customer is being scammed.
No.
And see, the deal is...
I don't think they know. Some of them, I don't think they know that the Indians are... The scammers
so
from India are staying on.
What is going to go on to let them know? You see, because it sounds like you were trying to tell somebody who was a broker what's going on, and he's like, "Oh, don't look at me. I don't know anything. My company just uses them." Yup.
Yep.
Well, see,
that's basically it.
So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, they do know they're choosing to ignore it. Now, there should be, hopefully someone in Scambaiters, I don't know how it's set up, something that would codify this to the point that there'd be a notice to brokers who use it that this is what is happening. Where I'm going with this is that we're not going to be able to, in fact, change the habits of the Indians one iota as far. And it isn't only India. In fact, India is not the biggest of this, as you know. The African continent beats it all to hell and back.
Nigeria is
Ghana, you name it. But while you can't get them, every one of these brokers is not only here, they're licensed.
Of course.
And so...
I brought this up to him. I say, hey, your license is in jeopardy because you're doing this. Do you realize that? Oh, I don't know.
Right. So. And so, you know, you're talking to the end user, but something needs to happen to publicize it to the heads of the companies and on so that, you know, it'd be great if they still had investigative journalists. What a joke. But if they did, for somebody to do an expose on this, because this is one that could be stopped.
Oh, hey, and I've tried to push the story and sell the story to various media all around down here and newspapers, and basically they say, hey, Jay, we're tired of it. There's so much of it. We keep hearing it all the time. We're tired of it. They don't want to do it. And some of them are just plain out lazy. They don't want to do the work.
This is unfortunate because I can't think of a better public service than alerting the public to scams that are happening. And, of course, Medicare scams are almost as old as Medicare itself. But in the last decade, they have perpetuated in horrible ways. And very often, it's not something that it's easy to contain. But here we've got one. The most enraging part of what you're saying is this should be easy to contain.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'll go back to Jim Browning. If you look at Jim Browning... and what he does, and he exposes, they show exactly where these call centers are, who runs them, where they are, down into the building, and even breaking into their closed-circuit cameras, and all that, and nothing is done, period.
Right. And that's, again, in some cases, it would be very difficult. But in this case, it should be very easy when you've got an American component that's licensed on top of everything else involved in this. And I think the only takeaway for the public, and I say this repeatedly, I don't care what it is. If someone calls you, do not conduct business with them. If it sounds interesting to you, get their information, hang up the phone, research it yourself, and call them back if you want to.
That's right. And here's something that sounds very counterproductive. And even to what you said, if it's a scam, just hang up on them.
Right.
But if you want to know the truth, is every time they make a call and you pick up the phone and you start talking to them, they want you to hang up. If you make them hang up, it costs them money. So I know it sounds stupid to say, hey, don't hang up on them.
Right.
Make sure they hang up on you. It costs them some money. And if a few million people do that, that'll put a hurt to them. But really, the thing is, just hang up on them, you know.
Yeah, we all can't be Tom Mabe, even though we'd like to be.
No.
Unfortunately. But yeah, it behooves you to not, in fact, conduct business with anyone on the phone where you haven't generated the call yourself based on information you have. The other thing is that, as you well know, robo-dialers are dialing and dialing and dialing, and when you answer, they'll hang up. Well, that's all right. The fact that you've answered, you've become a working phone number, and they sell those. So if you're sick of telemarketing, don't ever answer the phone unless you recognize the person at the other end.
They do. And as you brought up last night about spoofing, you can spoof.
Oh, you can.
Anything. I've seen banks and whatever,
of course,
and whatever.
Of course. I've got somebody now, a deranged individual who has been for a year calling and leaving dozens of messages at a time, and every one of them is from a different caller ID. And so that's how easy it is. And so obviously I don't listen to them, but, you know, when I see it, I'll see, you know, maybe I'll see seven in a row from the same number. And then, 10 minutes later, I'll see another three from another number. But it's that easy to change your caller ID. So and that, of course, is a real problem when it's not random, when it's targeted, when they're claiming they're your nephew or your grandchild or something like that. Do not allow the caller ID to be the proof that you're talking to whom you think you are.
Well, and going to back to what you were saying yesterday about the AI and stuff like that, Facebook, they're getting all this information, grandparents and stuff.
Yeah.
They're so proud of their kids and talking about their kids and their names and what they're doing. Well, the scammers are out there looking at all that. That's where they get a lot of the information.
Sure. And then, you know, you're talking about little Lauren just won the spelling bee. Well, now you got little Lauren's name, and you can go ahead and get her on her Facebook page or TikTok or whatever. Get her voice, clone it, and now, man, little Lauren is calling. So, absolutely. It's horrendous. And, you know, it's interesting. Even earlier today, I was interviewing a new concierge physician, because we're probably going to make a switch. All right, fine. And the first thing I find out is they only use an app and this portal for smart devices. And, you know, we want biometrics. And I'm like, you know, that's crazy time, because it's about as insecure as it gets. So,
yeah.
I, for the life of me, I can't imagine how people are just comfortable with that. And so it goes on and on and on. But unfortunately, there's no shortage of scammers and there's no shortage of scams. The horrible part is how there's nobody doing anything about it when they can. Like I was talking last night about the post office. They know they've got this change of address fraud. Why the hell aren't they sending a letter to the original address? They can override the change of address. That alone would fix it.
Well, I'll give you another story. Some of the scammers, Indian scammers, are from out of the country. They are using Americans as money mules. Right. For the people who are paying the money and put cash in boxes, and then they send it to a local money mule. Well, I have one contact with a postal inspector, and I saw one group of scam baiters putting this on, and they were following this money box.
Mm-hmm.
I called the postal inspector. I said, hey, you know, you might want to pay attention to this, because there's this going down. Money is being sent through this money mule. Catch up with it. Not interested.
Right.
Not interested.
Not my job. All. Yeah, that's right. I'm a 9-to-5-er. I got to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. Before I forget, I will mention one other link for Scamicide, common spelling, scamicide.com. Steve Weissman. It's a daily newsletter talking about the latest scams and recurring scams and how to keep from being entrapped by that.
No, it's always good.
So, what you can do.
Scamicide.com. You betcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's always wonderful to hear from you, and I hope you'll call me again soon.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
Safe and healthy.
Okay, thanks. So, 888-876-5593. Yeah, that is unnerving when you're talking about an American component of it that's just turning a blind eye. You know, hey, I'm too busy to worry about that. Rosemary is a first-time caller, and she's in Chicago. So, Rosemary, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. I've been listening to you. I enjoy your show.
Great to have you.
I wanted to tell you, I live on the corner where there's a mailbox.
Uh-oh.
A guy hit the mailbox 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
I called and called. Oh, well, we'll do something about it. Well, I finally called the federal post office and got a response.
Yeah.
Well, I got a call the other day, and she was cussing me out because I called them.
Oh.
Called the federal, and they called them. She called and turned on me because they still haven't fixed that mailbox. The teenagers come along, throw it around and everything. That's why I was calling.
Wow.
But she turned around. The manager at the post office that I'm in called me and chewed me out for calling the federal. So What do you do?
Well, first, I wish to hell you had taped the call, but you didn't, and I understand that. But I certainly would turn her in. I'd call back and say, hey, here's the retribution.
I already did.
Okay, good.
I already did.
Good.
And he said, she what? I said, the manager cussed me out because I called you guys.
Good.
Well,
good.
I haven't heard from her since, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, hopefully she's not around to hear from. But yes, you did the right thing.
Well, the thing is that our former state senator, Stanley Yates, who has since passed away, decided that our area code was the worst in the state. Then he did a national. Our zip code is the worst nationally and in the state.
What's your zip code?
So,
what is your zip code?
60640.
I'm going to look this up right now. I'm delighted that you called, Rosemary, and I hope you will again. Good luck.
And the thing is, I just want to tell you, I can tell you the name of the post office, too, if you want me to.
Oh, you don't have to. If I got the zip code, I know the post office.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you
Thanks.
For talking to me.
Absolutely.
Have a good
you, too. Appreciate that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll investigate 60640 and what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio. Oh, wait. Yeah. In fact, here I am prattling on, meeting new people, and that's always fun. But as Adam mentioned earlier, I forgot to mention the Sea Crane Company. I love mentioning them, too. So the news will wait while I tell you about the CCEP Pro. I love this radio. I've got one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom. And it's true, actually. And it's simple. What I love it is the simplicity of it. It's needle and dial tuning, you know, slide rule tuning, just like in all the radios of yesteryear. It's as simple as that. It's got one button for power, one button for a bright light display, and no clock, no alarm, no time, all that. There's a tone switch for a bass and treble and that kind of thing. And big deal, though, is you fine-tune this to whatever you want. Now, it's got the twin-coil ferrite antenna, which makes AM listening just wonderful. Not only sound good, but you pick up more, and it's just terrific. It has a line-in jack, so you can connect a smartphone for audiobooks or podcasts because the speaker is just tremendous. But as usual with the Sea Crane Company, everything Bob Crane has put together has the kind of reception you expected from radio back in the day and haven't been getting for the last several decades. Well, you will with every one of them, and the CC Radio EP Pro is just simple. It works, it's inexpensive, and I just love it. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, or give them a call, 800-522-8863. 522-TUNE. Absolutely best customer service. But if you can, go to ccradio.com. Great products as well as great information from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you.
Heaven, please send to all mankind understanding and peace in mind. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love, someone to love. Show the world how to get along. Peace will enter when the hate is gone. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Please send me someone to love. I lay awake nights and ponder world trouble, and my answer is always the same, that unless man put an end to this damnable sin, hate will put the world in a flame. What a shame.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Percy Mayfield. Yeah, that was Stephanie's request last night. We got it. Please send me someone to love. 1950 on specialty. Yeah, that's the 78 version. So 888-876-5593. I admit, I've been sitting here looking at 60640, and I don't know what's wrong with it. All right. I mean, if you're talking about crime statistics, Chicago in general is certainly elevated compared to, you know, the nation at large. We know that. All right, fine. But and there's predominantly renters there. All right. Very diverse. There's a bit of everything there. And I would say actually upscale comparatively, that's for sure. So why anybody would say that this is the worst zip code, man, I would, you know, obviously I don't have a list of all the zip codes and everything that's in it, but I would think that it is nowhere near that. So if you know why anyone would tell Rosemary, who lives there, that 60640 is the worst zip code in Chicago, yeah, Sheridan Park and everything else, why? All right, maybe we'll find out. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Don is in Beloit. Hey, Don, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
Good, good. I'm good. Thank you so much last night for playing my song last night. That was very sweet of you.
Oh, painful, yes. Yes.
Okay. That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those songs that is certainly well known as for, and not only did the Yardbirds do it, I think they recorded actually in late 65, it was a flip of shapes of things, but then what was it, Jeff Beck went out and did it again, and, you know, on and on it goes. So, yeah, it's got life to it, that's for sure. I hope I never heard it again, but it certainly is revered.
Well, I think from our generation, you know, that are older than the current generation. You know, the idea that, you know, boy wants to meet girl and boy meets girl and she brings him home and then there's the angry father waiting. I think that's something that all, like, young men kind of related to or something.
Not necessarily with that guitar riff. All right.
Okay. Well, I wanted to, you know, I by the way, the mailboxes are crazy. I mean, they're doing that all over the country. That's
what?
Not just you.
No,
it's not just you.
Well, then wait a minute. If you've got a drive-thru, why on earth would you face the mailboxes away from the cars?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Was there a sidewalk right next to where there was mailboxes are?
No, the mailboxes themselves were on a sidewalk, but no, there was no one who could walk up to the mailbox. You'd have to go around, and assuming that no one was in the parking space in front of it, you would walk from the parking lot to it. No, there's no sidewalk.
Well, you know, Raleigh, you know, I'm just surprised that you think that the post office is going to do something rational.
Well, that's what John said. That's exactly what John said. But no, I mean, this is so over the top insane. I just want to understand their logic. I might not agree with it, but I want to understand it. Somebody must have thought something.
They're thinking that people are going to be able to walk up to these, apparently.
Well,
there's a bunch of things going on. So one of them is there's a lot of pedestrian thing that there. I mean, of course, that's insanity, yes.
It's in a parking lot.
One of the things.
It's not facing a street.
Right. And then another thing is it sounds like this is me reading a lot of these angry posts from all over North Carolina, everywhere. A lot of these are apparently for laziness, for them to access the underneath parts, for them to open it up with their vehicles, maybe.
Then why do they have parking spaces in front of it? Because if someone's parked in front of it, their vehicles are not going to get there.
Yeah. And then I wanted to talk about something else, but you can look at that. One more thing that's going on with this whole thing, well, of course, there's no money, and you know that they lose, you know, some tons of money every single day, every single week. They don't have money to change out mailboxes, obviously.
Apparently they got
some. One thing that's going on with this also is they're changing that the thing that you and I understand. We put the mail in by grabbing the handle.
Not anymore.
And we pulled it. They're not letting it. Right. So this is changing those so that there's only a slit that you can put it in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're 100% right about that. It's the new security upgraded mailbox. That I understand. But why not face it where the cars are?
Everybody's mad about this, apparently.
You mean they're actually facing it away from the cars everywhere?
Greensboro, you pick a state and you're going to find angry people, it looks like to me, from my
this is
Raleigh
hilarious.
12 minutes of research on this topic, yes.
Hilarious. I'd love to know who thought of this.
It sounds like a lot of people that work for the post office are wondering the same thing.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
There's hope.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Don from Beloit, his mom lives, my mom's a widower. She lives in Del Webb, Sun City, you know, Hilton.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, like mega, like thousands, tens of thousands of people. Yeah. I also have an aunt that lives a few blocks away from her,
okay,
too. And they got scammed. This thing, I think with the AI, like what you're saying, this grandma, what they call the grandma scam, the grandma scammers,
right.
Just going to get worse, I think, yeah. So my mom was taken in by that. She, somebody imitated one of her grandkids' voice.
Jesus,
and,
Jesus.
And when these people, you know, when that voice, you hear that child, like, grandma, grandma, you know, it pulls at your heart, I suppose, with some of these people that aren't too bright or whatever.
Well,
you know?
No, I get that. And also, they can't even comprehend of how this would be possible to do. I mean, let's face
it.
But you know, why is it that, especially if they're in a, you know, like a Sun City, one of the Del Webbs or something like that, why aren't they, in fact, notifying everybody everywhere, hey, this may happen to you?
I think they did do that after this happened to a few people like that. So my mom got, you know, it's not much of a story. My mom got taken in by this, you know, don't tell my dad, you know, that kind of thing. You got to help me. I'm in jail or whatever the stupid story was.
Uh-huh.
And she went right up to the front gate, you know, with like big amount of money and dropped it up right by the guardhouse. Obviously, they have a lot of good private security, but they've got their own private police department there.
And you would think that the police would, you know, intercede to the standpoint of saying, ma'am, what are you doing, you know, try and protect people.
So I talked to the Beaufort County Sheriff's Department about this at the time because I'm like the oldest son in the family.
Right.
And, you know, we're all concerned about this. And one thing that I did that I thought was good that your listeners might get is I went right to my relatives around there. I said, hey, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And my mom was mortified. She was like, why are you doing? I'm embarrassed. Why did you do that? I said, well, if they've got all of your kids' names and your grandkids, they're just going to go through our whole family. You better knock this off at the pass before they contact Aunt Carol. So they were all very grateful that I told this family story. And because sooner or later, if they know all those other children's names.
Sure they do.
That's how it works. Yep. So that's what worked. And then,
amazing.
Of course, they didn't catch anything. But the police, they were very helpful to me. They were very helpful to try to get to the bottom of this. They had, you know, obviously some film of this whole transaction at the front gate and stuff. It's a terrible story. Terrible. This happened about 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, God. God. And yeah, unfortunately, it's a common story, but hopefully more and more people will become aware. But I can absolutely understand that when they hear the voice of someone who sounds just like a grandchild, they're not going to have any comprehension that this could be fake.
Right.
So yeah,
unfortunately,
getting the word out there, best you can do.
Yeah.
Oh, man, hate to hear it.
Riley, we were talking, you know, a bunch of us, you know, the streets of Beloit, you know, friends around here that listen to you and everything, family.
Yeah.
We were wondering, I asked John about this once, about 2 weeks ago, but apparently the two of you, I think a lot of people would want to know, like, how the two of you met, and I heard it happened in a park in Philadelphia. Do you mind me asking about that?
Yeah, no, what it was, actually, and it's funny how life is, because it almost didn't happen. Jerry Blabbitt, who's now no longer alive, was a close friend of mine. And Jerry called me one day and said, they're doing a documentary. I want you to be interviewed. Now, at the time, I was really ticked at Jerry because he had done something I considered to be unethical. We'll just leave it there. And I just was, you know, all over him like whites on rice. Says, I'm not even sure I'm talking to you, let alone talking about you. And he said, no, my love, you've got to do this. And I said, I don't have to do anything. And so when is it? And he told me when it was, and it so happened that I had a doctor's appointment. I had uveitis at the time really bad, and so I was going downtown to Will's Eye and in Philadelphia. And so I thought, gee, it's just across the street from Will's Eye. How hard could this be? And I said, well, Jerry, I'm going to warn you. I may tell the truth. And so anyway, I don't care. You just have to go. So begrudgingly, I went.
And this was uveitis. Uveitis.
Uveitis. Yeah, it's another, you know, wonderful autoimmune disease. Anyway, so I went, and I actually was truly kind comparatively. I did not tell the whole truth. I said he was just wonderful. In any event, John says, hang on a minute. Don't finish this story yet. And he's absolutely right. So don't go away. Stay where you are. All right, because once again, I'm unable to tell time. Yeah, and we've also got Nick in Baltimore. We're going to talk about digital broadcasting next hour. Don't go away, Nick. I'm looking forward to that. We can talk about digital TV, too. And John in Covington, more post office stories. But I'll finish telling Don and Beloit all the intricacies of meeting John. All right, so all that and more coming up here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Pilot, one of their last singles. No, it didn't chart. On Arista in 1977. But I thought about it because last night when we played by request a Big Jeff and the Radio Playboys, Step It Up and Go, I thought, hey, how about Get Up and Go? And for whatever reason, you know, it's been in my mind ever since then. So now you heard it. All right, so talking to Don and Beloit, and we left me agreeing to be interviewed for the Jerry Blabbitt documentary. And so I went and... I answered the questions, and I thought the guy asking the questions was a complete moron when it came to the subject matter, but okay. So I went home, and that was the end of it. Well, I got this email because this was in the early days of streaming and things like that, and so poor Jerry was one of my victims. I did a website for him, and I streamed a show because I wanted to learn how to stream, and back then, you know, it was all RTSP, and anyway, I did it. And so John saw the website and emailed me with some questions. Now, what he didn't know was I answer everybody. So he thought that, you know, I was somehow, he was special that I answered him. So I did. And I answered all his questions. And it turned out, I found out that he didn't like me at all from this interview. He just thought I was just about as cold as a woman could be. Well, it turned out after a while he found out that, no, actually, I was just telling the truth, and it was a sugar-coated version thereof. And so he asked me if I want to go get dinner, and that was it. So that's it.
And of course, you got this eye irritation going on, and you're doing this thing for, am I saying this right, the big boss with the hot sauce?
Jerry Blabbitt, the geeter with the heater, the boss with the hot sauce. Yeah, exactly. And, uveitis is chronic. I had it for years. I still get it occasionally, but not too often. Yeah. But that didn't bother me. I just take that in stride. You know, it's like another of the autoimmune gifts, but it did get me downtown to Will's Eye. But, yeah, I've thought so many times how close I came to not doing that. So you just don't know. Life turns on a dime.
You had like your own like mobile crew or something like that with this interview going on?
Well, that was old John. I did not. You know, John was behind the camera. That's why he was there. John's a world class director and producer and cinematographer. So he was just behind the camera. He was not involved in the interview other than to capture it and to make me look good, which is quite a feat. But in any event, the guy asking the questions is like, oh my God, this is and the documentary never really came about, although John took the footage and came up with his own, not for use, just for private use, and it was unbelievably good. But and I'm glad we have it, because of course Jerry's no longer alive.
From January.
Yeah.
Did you happen to be standing anywhere near the Rocky statue?
We've we pass the Rocky statue all the time, but no, it wasn't that shot okay. wasn't there. But yeah,
okay.
Well, now the big
I
was going to say now the big news in big news in Philadelphia is I-95 collapsed. So that's what everybody's looking at now. So yeah.
Well, you know, that was one reason I wanted to ask you about. I didn't want to like bug your show when you were talking about that Monday morning, or on the Monday show. But yeah, that's kind of got me thinking about asking you this Philadelphia question about how that all started.
Yeah. So, no, I
so
went.
Then you guys go out to dinner, and the rest is history, kind of a thing.
Sort of. Yeah. I tell you, I picked Philadelphia. I wanted to work there, and desperately wanted to. I turned down all sorts of jobs that people didn't understand because I wanted to go to Philly, and it was all for the music, and I knew that it wouldn't be around much longer. So yeah, I got there.
And you obviously worked for some time with the same station that Jerry was at.
Well, no, actually, Jerry never worked at a radio station with ratings. He had TV shows, but no, Jerry and I knew each other from years and years earlier.
Okay, because he was on an oldies radio station.
Well, you got to call. I'm out of time this hour, but call me another night.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Man, did he ever get screwed blue?
I think all right. of us like the. I appreciate you. Well, all of us appreciate you telling us about that. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye. All right, so yeah, poor Jerry on that. That was certainly not his fault. But anyhow, we'll get to John and come in here. We got Nick in Baltimore looking forward to a nice digital broadcasting conversation, and maybe even some TV action there. All right, so all that and more coming up here, and hopefully your calls too on WGN Radio.
From nowhere, through a caravan, around campfire light, a lovely woman in motion, with hair as dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a cat in the dark, that hypnotized me with love.
She was a gypsy woman. She was a gypsy woman.
She danced around and round to a guitar melody. From the fire her face was all aglow. How she enchanted me. Oh, how I'd like to hold her near and kiss and forever whisper in her ear.
I love you, gypsy woman. I love you, gypsy woman.
All through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men, waiting for the rising sun. Everyone was having fun. I hate to see the lady go, knowing she'll never know that I love her.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. And drive me crazy because it's not the original ABC 45 in 1963, ABC Paramount. But it's a fine rendition, and it certainly is Curtis Mayfield. So hopefully that fulfills the request needs of Michael, who takes me along for a ride in the truck, who wanted to hear that. All right. So we have a number of things going on. John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio. All right, John is gone. Well, I'm sure he'll be back soon. But that takes us to Nick from Baltimore. All right, Nick, how are you feeling tonight?
Hey, good morning, Wally. I'm feeling fine.
Good.
Everything's good.
Good.
A great show. I always say that. Really, it's always good.
Well, thank you.
It's just a lot of fun. And quite a break from all the nonsense that's going on.
Oh, God, isn't it the truth? I mean, that part.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
I don't watch the news. I can't.
I don't blame you.
But we won't go there.
Yeah.
I think I sent you something the other night, but
did you?
Yesterday.
Okay.
I sent you that Tucker Carlson thing. But DAB. We could talk about digital TV, but I was thinking of what they have in Europe. And it would have been neat if they did that here.
Well, right. And we're talking about Eureka, and Eureka 447, which was developed in Germany and Japan. And it works, and they're not using that anymore directly. They're using a derivative thereof a couple of versions later. But in any event, it worked. Now, what it required, as you know, is it required a third broadcast band. In other words, you took AM and FM and put them both on a third band. Well, of course, since all these stations here were, in many cases, the prices were predicated on what they call stick value, like are they on AM or on FM and where on the dial are they, the owners went crazy. Oh, you can't do that. Well, the only problem here is economics cannot in fact, you know, trump engineering when you're talking about a standard. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. And IBOC, in-band on-channel, was the result. And of course, it just on AM is a disaster, as I, you know, predicted it would be. It wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't need to use my FCC license to know that. But I was very disappointed because Canada originally adopted Eureka. And then, because America's, you know, might makes right and all that, and so close as a neighbor, they abandoned it and went with DAB as well.
Now, let me ask you a question, though. You say it would be the third band they put AM. You mean they would put all the AM and FM stations on that third band?
Yes, exactly.
And then, but they would have regional coverage, right? I mean,
well, yeah, but the problem is, and to an extent, you can curtail or extend to a slight extent what you'd be getting. But suddenly, what you'd have is most of those AM stations would have parity with those FM stations,
right?
And so
they didn't want that.
Oh, they didn't want that because again, they were buying the stations based upon the stick value, what frequency it is on, you know, on the FM band, and you know how much power it had and all that. And so they were scared to death that suddenly the landscape was going to double because of all the AM stations having parity, and it wouldn't be exact parity, but it was scary enough that they lobbied against it, you know, like it was Beelzebub taken over. And ultimately won. And CBS, of course, and Glenn Walden, who was a friend of mine way back in the day, was part of the deal that orchestrated IBOC, technically. And, you know, I guess he did it best he could with what he had, but it just isn't the way I would have gone.
Well, yeah, and the thing of it is, you talk about stick value, now with all these translators on, these FM stations don't go as far.
Well, not only that. See, okay, translators is a different problem, and oh, is it ever a problem, because originally when we had the concept of digital audio, whether you want to call it IBOC or not, when we had the concept, the idea was that, yes, you could split the signal, and you could have three or even four, if you really wanted to split it, stations. All right, well, the theory at the time was, this is great. We have to all gather around this so that we can have additional stations and that, you know, this will work and all that now. So then, in a complete lack of wisdom, the FCC approved using an FM translator for a digital audio channel, two or three or four, whatever, that way. Now, the problem is that defeats the purpose of trying to do things to develop the digital audio spectrum. So it's hard to get digital radios now. I mean, it's not easy to find them. And initially, some, you know, God love them, some people really did try to do something interesting with their, you know, twos and threes as far as that. But it's a horrible workaround. For instance, let's say I have an FM station in Frederick, Maryland, okay? And I want to get into Baltimore in the worst way. Well, I'm not going to be able to put a translator on in Baltimore because, of course, Frederick is going to be outside of my 60 dB contour.
Right.
Yeah, but what if I had another station that was in the Baltimore metro? And what if I put my Frederick station on their HD2 channel?
Right.
Now, what if I then applied for a translator to translate my HD2 channel? So suddenly, I got a translator that's translating my Frederick station in Baltimore.
And that's what's happening because
of course it's happening.
That New Jersey. religious broadcast.
Right. Of course it's happening. I mean, why wouldn't it? If you're allowed to do it, why wouldn't you? You know, from an economic standpoint, if somebody asked me about it, I'd say absolutely. But it defeats it. It doesn't build HD radio at all. And it allows signals that otherwise wouldn't penetrate markets to be in town. Now, depending on the size of the market, it's somewhat of a lost cause because with a translator, you're limited to 250 watts and you're not going to cover a full market. Now, interestingly, you're not limited in height. Man, that can be 10,000 feet high. The only problem is that a translator is not a fully licensed service. It's a dependent service, and so therefore it is secondary to anybody who's licensed. So when you talk about a place like D.C. or Baltimore, that's so overcrowded already. We're actually just talking theoretical because no one can get in there.
Right. So, yeah, it's already a mess. I mean. Because where we live, we're in a place called Miller's Island, which is a peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that weird two-edge pickup pattern, they told me. And so reception's great here, even with rabbit ears or a dipole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need an outdoor antenna.
Right.
I get Philadelphia regularly. I get, but, I mean, if the frequency's open. Now, if we have extreme ducting, which we're headed into that season now, these translators get blown out sometimes because, the Philly stations come in. It's rare, but, I mean, I've gotten New York.
Well, right now, all bets are off because the fires have really been playing with ducting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So people are getting things they never were getting before. So you live on Miller's Island?
Yeah, we're on the peninsula. Yeah.
So, like on Swan Point or Ramona Beach or something. I mean, like where?
No, it's Spellers Point, but we're on that little section that. It's
all right.
Called
yeah.
Island,
yeah. 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 Off 695.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
exactly where we are.
Okay, so like Edgemere, all that.
Edgemere. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So you know where it is.
I do know where that is. North Point Boulevard, 151.
Yeah, but it's really interesting. I mean, it's a beautiful area.
Yeah, it is.
It you wouldn't think it's near Baltimore, but
no, it is. It's really nice.
It's really nice. The TV reception is interesting too because I've picked up Long Island. I've picked up New York.
Yeah.
Regularly, you get Salisbury, from the Eastern Shore.
Oh, sure.
I know this is boring people. And we've gotten some of the low VHFs too.
There aren't many low VHFs left, are there?
No.
I mean, I know there are virtuals, obviously, but
right.
I think in some of the cases the high VHF, and for people who don't know, channel 2 through 13 on television was what you had forever and ever, and the reality was that it was a bifurcated band in that 2 through 6, then there was a big space before 7 through 13 picked up. There was also a space between 4 and 5, which is why it was possible to have a 4 and a 5 in the same market.
Right.
But with a move to digital, most of the stations that had always been identified as TV5 or whatever didn't want to lose that. So that's of course their virtual channel, and then their RF channel is probably in the UHF band, which is dramatically curtailed too, because originally UHF was from 14 to 83, and then they moved it down to 69, and now since they so auctioned off that spectrum, it's 14 to I think 51.
It's 36 now.
36, you're right. 36, absolutely. So 14 to 36, you're
and
right.
They're probably going to lose more, and I envision it all going back to VHF.
Well,
that's the nightmare.
It low band V with digital is absolutely a nightmare. Reception is just awful. High band, yeah, maybe. But you're also talking about what it costs you in terms of power, which is a whole different ballgame. Of course, originally back in the days when somebody would put on a UHF station, ultra-high frequency, it was ultra-high power bills, too, because you would literally be churning out, 5 million watts while you're paying for that. So I don't know what'll happen, but that's the way it's going. And of course, anybody who has a smart TV, the smart TVs, when they search for channels and you say, oh, found channel 5. Well, it's not actually channel 5. It's probably channel 17 or something, but it's your virtual channel 5.
Right. I actually get a signal on RF channel 5, but it remaps to 36 because it's a brokerage station.
Uh-huh.
But I actually get it. But it, you know, it comes in, it's about 60 miles from me. Yeah. So you can get reception, but it just depends on where you are and whether your antenna can see the signal. Because, you know, it's just the way it is.
Yep.
But, you know, who knows what will happen in the future. I mean, I watch a lot of my stuff, I watch online, so.
Sure. Sure. You know, well, that's what I always say about now we're discussing the delivery truck. We don't care how you get it. It's really what are you watching? And that's the real question. Was Newton Minow right about it being a vast wasteland? You know, some days you wonder.
Well, you know, as long as you get the programming, just like with radio, I mean, most of my radio listening is online. I mean, I DX a little bit, but I mean, GN comes in down here.
Yeah.
It's one of the few Chicago stations we get, you know, but GN comes in fairly well.
Yes,
down
it
here,
does.
Even in the summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, great nice. Signal. I think it's, you're 1A, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now with K-Dawn gone.
Well, that's right. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's sad. You hate to think about being, but you know that was the big 720 they put in Las Vegas. Directional, of course, but it was there. You know, that it always saddens me when we lose those stations. But then again, you know, it's a theoretical discussion because you take a look at what's on it and you say, okay, maybe not so bad. It's gone.
Yeah, and you see so many of these outfits doing that. You know, selling the land and all of that.
But, well, and that's a 40-year proposition easily. The first one that really shocked me was WBIG in Winston-Salem. It was a Jeff Pilot station when they sold that because that was like 85. And, you know, that was... I didn't realize how much it was going to be the norm. But let's face it, when you have land that's worth $90 million or what have you, and you know, you got a station that isn't billing $1 million, it's economically not a very hard decision. The other thing, of course, is depending. If you're willing to spend the money, you may be able to broadcast with the same coverage diplex somehow. Now, I don't know what you're going to diplex with and where, but it can be done.
Yeah, but the problem with that, Raleigh, correct me if I'm wrong, when a station diplexes, don't they, it depends on the load it can take, and you have to sometimes reduce your power.
Well, you're talking about the intermod problem?
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Intermodulation, the two frequencies on the same tower, can be a problem, particularly if they're less than 100 kilocycles apart. So if you have a 1260 and then you got a 1320, that's a pretty close game there. It can be engineered. Of course, I know one owner who actually, he used Intermod as a signal to claim he was broadcasting, but that's a long story. In any event, if you're, you know, if you're at 700 and well, you're not because WLW will own that, but, you know, and another one is at, you know, not at a harmonic. I mean, I wouldn't want to put one at 1400 at that point. But, you know, if you watch how close you are and you engineer it well, you can diplex, you can triplex with some reasonably good results. But you need some good engineering there. And you also, you don't want those frequencies to be adjacent or harmonic.
Oh, yeah. But, that would be a mess.
Yeah.
You know?
But you see, that's the thing. When something like a 720 in Las Vegas just signs off, they certainly could have found a way to diplex, but they didn't want to spend the money. It's like, just turn it in.
Yeah, it's a shame, but it's great for GN because now you have clear sailing.
Yes, yes. No, it's wonderful. So, and GN's just a beautiful signal anyway. It always has been.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
good deal.
Thanks a lot.
Always great to talk to you, Nick.
And we will talk soon. Thank you.
I look forward to it.
Show.
Okay, thanks.
Alrighty.
All right. Thanks. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And you know, we were saying about Eureka being the system in most of the world, really, for digital audio broadcasting. Well, television has even more systems, and Europe has various forms of DTB, as it's called. South America has something interesting that Brazil came up with, but there's a number of them there. 888-876-5593. We'll get the Eduardo in Tampa next on WGN Radio. Coming down. Coming down. Coming down. Yes, I'm coming down. I'm coming down, 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 down. Coming down with a heartache. I'm Rodney James, and that's Jackie Shane. Yeah, coming down was the flip side of In My Tenement, 1963 on Sue and Stephanie said, play some Jackie Shane. Well, absolutely. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And Eduardo is in Tampa Bay, so what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of instances, New York City sinking because of the tall buildings, but also I saw this about Jakarta, where they're sinking because they're extracting the water because some of this water is dirty. They were talking about how only 60% of the country is using pipe water, and they're trying to get it the rest by 2030. And did you ever hear anything about such a thing, about water, about cities sinking?
Yeah, actually. Jakarta, it's not, it's nothing new. Over 20 years ago, they built that coastal wall, and they sold it as, you know, we build a coastal wall to, you know, stop us from going in the Java Sea or whatever. But it's been sinking and quite a bit, about 12 centimeters a year or something. And so...
Right.
Yeah. There's a number of people who are afraid that there'll be complete submersion by 2030. You know, I don't know as far as that goes. You know, part of it in coastal cities, like, you know, you hear about Miami or Houston or, you know, even where you are in Tampa Bay, is the sea levels rising. And that's a worry. And New Orleans especially, which really is, you know, below sea level for the most part. So
New York City is
New York City,
the coast,
yeah,
so, I mean,
right. New York City's big problem, they think, is the weight of it, what you said earlier. And it's also a slower sink. I think it's, you know, less than one centimeter a year or what have you. So a millimeter, I'm sorry, one millimeter a year. You know, it's hard to say, and it's also interesting again that we don't really have a global perspective over long periods of time. You know, recorded history is relatively short comparatively. So we don't know we absolutely don't know. So to say that, you know, sea levels are rising due to climate change, well, yes, but it's cyclical. And it's been here before and will be here again. What happens in the cycle is what we flat out don't know. But anybody who thinks they can prevent it is out of their mind.
Yeah. I also wonder, because I had somebody here, and because they knew I'm a new homeowner,
yeah,
trying to sell me a water filtration system. And then you get a little, like a $100 gift card, which you still got to send in. It's not like they have it in your hand.
Right, right. It's a rebate.
So I wonder if it's connected.
No, it's kinda like, you know, there's many reasons people filter water. And so many reasons. And the other thing is, when you're talking about water filtration, systems are not equal. It's what are you trying to filter? And, you know, for me, for instance, I would filter fluoride in a heartbeat if I lived anywhere that fluoridated their water. Fortunately, I don't.
Okay.
But it's difficult to find whole house fluoride filtration. You can find things like chlorine filtration very easily, but you know, you can, your water company is compelled to tell you what's in your water, and they do the tests, and I think they probably send it with a bill once a year, or they should anyway, and you can take a look at what's in
it
to determine. There's many reasons people will decide to filter, you know, if they're in a very hard water area and they're dealing with a real strain on the pipes, maybe, but in most cases it's not absolutely necessary by any means. I mean, the city water is going to be, for the most part, definitely potable. You know, I do remember one point in Bell Harbor where we had red worms coming out of it, but that that's 70 years ago.
Oh my goodness, nothing like that here. Yeah,
right, yeah, but. You know, for the most part, the city will do you enough good. But you can also talk to neighbors and ask them if they have filtration systems and why. If there's a real problem, you'll find out a lot of people do. But I don't know of any real problems in Tampa Bay water-wise.
Okay. Yeah, but that was really interesting to hear about city sinking. Wow, that's really interesting. I wonder how many more having that problem.
Oh, I think the other thing is, as we get better at measuring things, you know, the Earth is dynamic. It's always changing.
Yeah. I mean, Chicago is by the Great Lakes. I don't know if that would count.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
LA.
It also depends, you know, what it's, you know, the consistency of the land. I mean, Florida, obviously, you're going to have things sink because, hell, half of that was underwater 30 years ago. Well, not 30, but 60 years ago anyway. You know, they filled in a lot of places in Florida that used to be absolutely underwater.
Swampland.
Yes,
right.
And they used to sell it that way.
Yeah.
They'd sell it as waterfront property, and people would buy it, you know, through magazines or whatever, and get down there and realize that, you know, it was underwater. And there were all sorts of scandals and, you know, laws passed and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that was very, very common that you buy waterfront property. Well, the only problem there was the word front. It was water, all right, but there was no front.
So, and some of these, because of the hurricanes and typhoons, does that also
well, you won't have typhoons, you'll have hurricanes, but no, you know, I don't think hurricanes are a huge problem. Obviously, when you're in the middle of them and you're waiting for the eye to come, you're not pleased, but hurricanes are not without warning. I would be more concerned if I was living in Tornado Alley, where things can happen in a heartbeat. Hurricanes, you know it's coming. Yeah, it may change course at the last minute, but you still know that what the possibility thereof is. In some cases, yeah, you're right that some of the construction hasn't necessarily stood the test of time, and it could be interesting to see what a direct hit would do. And, of course, hurricanes are all unique in their own way. They can be, you know, water emphasis, they can be wind emphasis, and that can be different in terms of the effect that it has as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I think
California,
the water
was,
you know,
California the one that they, I'm sorry, never, was California the one where they were being dropped because of the I guess the wildfires, they weren't going to be covered anymore? Did you hear about that too?
Cover, you were talking about insurance issues?
Right.
Well, I think there's, you know, depending on where you are, in California, you couldn't get fire coverage in the past. Maybe they're expanding that. But obviously, you know, depending on how that house is perched, you just like there's many, many, many locations where you're never going to get flood coverage. It depends. So are more insurers dropping it? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, maybe like a Fort Myers, something like that.
Well, I don't... I just looked this up about property insurers, and California's largest property insurer halts new policies. Okay. So, wildfire risks rising costs. And State Farm has stopped accepting homeowner insurance in California.
Period,
though, but that's across the board. They're just saying we're not offering, you know, the insurance here. Somebody else will. It'll cost them more money, but somebody will. Now what's interesting is State Farm was, I think, the biggest in California in property coverage. So that stop writing, I don't know. They're not dropping anybody who's existing, and they're still offering, you know, auto coverage. But I don't know what companies are dropping existing customers, but you will see that, and it's a good decision. Just like in terms of when new housing is going on in various places, in some ways that growth has been just enormous at some pretty big costs. Finally, in the Phoenix area, Maricopa County just said, we're not going to issue new home permits unless the builder can demonstrate that there's a potable water supply for 100 years. And there's not many people who are going to be able to do that. So what should wind up happening is you don't have too many more new housing projects, so that causes the ones that are there to, escalate even further in price, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
Well, except for the ones that, of course, now have no water, so that's going to have to be figured out, because that was the big disaster that led to this. They allowed for construction in areas that just didn't have water. You know, and so now they're saying that the developer has to make sure they have water first. So that's not a problem you're going to have in Florida.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I mean, I know it's hurricane season, but...
You'll definitely have hurricanes that are pointed at you. Whether or not one will hit the area, well, that happens now and then again, not every year by any means. But, you know, hurricane season, yeah, there's more than a couple times between now and October 1st that you're going to worry if, Ethel or whatever is aiming at you. So, but I wouldn't worry about it. Plus, how old is your house?
I have it somewhere, but I don't remember.
About. I don't need the exact.
I forgot that.
About. What decade? You know, is it relatively new or is it a little older?
Well, it was renovated. I mean,
well, renovated or when renovated or what? But when did the first stick go into the ground about?
That I couldn't tell you. I have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, well, you can...
But I know I have it somewhere.
Right, and the bottom line to that is it's still standing. So I think you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy it. And you're not going to have a water problem. I promise you that. There'll be plenty of water to drink.
All right, I'll let you get on to the next call.
Appreciate it. All right, good deal.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Yeah, 888-876-5593. Now, if you're saying to yourself, well, what's going to happen here? There's an obvious answer. It's an expensive answer, and it is not necessarily great for the environment, so they'll probably put it off the coast of Mexico, for instance, and the Mexicans will insist that we serve them while we're at it. But desalination, that may be the way to go. And, you know, they use it in the Emirates and places like that. Kuwait has a lot of desalination, so there's plenty of seawater to go around. We'll get to Jane in Philadelphia. Oh, she's back from Alaska. I want to hear the rest of the trip. I also want to hear firsthand what she knows about 95, collapsing. There's really no other word for it. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
want, but I call it love.
I call it love.
You can say, what you want, baby, but I still say it's love.
I say it's love.
You can sing it in a song.
Sing it in a song.
But I still sing out love. Whether right or wrong, baby,
you can tell me, baby,
I still say it's love.
I say it's love. Let it be.
Let it be.
Oh, let it be.
I know what's in my heart.
I know what's in my heart. I'm the one.
I'm the only one.
The only
no, I'm the only one. Who can tell it? Who can tell it apart?
Infatuation.
You can say it's infatuation. But I'll still say
no, 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 no.
You can laugh if you want, baby.
Ha, ha.
But I'll still cry out love.
Ah.
Yes, I still say it's love, baby,
ah,
baby. Yes, it's love.
WGN Radio, I'm Bobby James. Yeah, I call it Love the Manhattans. Love playing the Manhattans. So when I get requests for that, I jump on it. In 1967, and Carnival and Karen wanted to hear it. Yeah, I call it Love. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Jane is back from Alaska. So, Jane, how was the trip?
Yeah, it was good. I know the Manhattans, but I didn't know that song at all. I was wondering. I said, now, who's she going to say that is? Because I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, no, that's their early period on Carnival. That was the first label they were on. I loved their stuff on Carnival, and then they went to Deluxe. And after that, they were on Columbia. I never cared for any of the Columbia stuff.
And I don't know any more about the I-95 than what you all know, because I heard about it on the Alaska News.
Yeah.
When I was away, but since I've been back, so I just got back 5:42
wow.
at the airport this morning. So
wow. All right.
I haven't watched much news.
Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and I want to hear the whole story after the news, speaking of that. So stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right here. We got another hour to talk to you. Hopefully, you'll be calling on WGN Radio.
I guess I missed my calling, 'cause I should have been a clown.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's James Carr. Yeah, dark end of the street, James Carr. Doing Pouring Water on a Drowning Man. Gold Wax Records, 1966. And I played that because James actually would have turned 81 yesterday. Sadly died in 2001 in a Memphis nursing home, not even 60, lung cancer. So, 888-876-5593. We are talking with Jane in Philadelphia, who just got back from Alaska. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me the rest of the trip.
All right. I don't know that James Carr there at all.
Yeah, it's nice, though, isn't it?
No. I didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
But Alaska, I mean, what you call Anchorage, they got quite the airport compared to Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's serious.
Mm-hmm. Fairbanks got 3 gates.
Yeah. Well, not many people come and go who aren't in the military.
But they got a kind of big sparkling airport.
Yeah.
I took the bus from the hotel. Only $1, because you know I'm 60, show your ID.
Yeah.
And was $1.
Yeah.
And instead of paying for a cab, which might have been maybe $20, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the blocks and whatnot are so close together. I didn't know that. Looking at the map, I wasn't sure, like, okay, how wide is this? How far I got to go from here to here? It's all so close. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And the bus was right across the street from the Marriott where I stayed. I'm like, dang, it's right across the street.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Yep, perfect. And my room view, because I stayed at the Marriott, straight ahead and to the left was the Cook Inlet.
Yep.
And then over to the right, I could see mountains. And right in front of me was the town. So it was like, there go Captain Cook. I got to go there Monday to meet my bus. And there's Westmark. I got to go there on Saturday to meet the bus for an excursion. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the town and stuff. I'm like, dang, and I see everything. Wow. Oh, and the window was huge. It was wide. Oh, the window was, how many? I don't know, like 6 feet. It was a wide, long window, you know. And
so where all did you go? Did you go to the zoo?
Well, no, I didn't. Okay, so, like, I didn't want to go to the zoo because when I researched it, it was far out somewhere. And so, and then when I was home and researching it, I didn't have information that there is a free shuttle that will take you to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I got that information after I got there, but I wasn't including that in my plan.
Okay.
So, but one of my excursions, because I was only going to do 2 glacier excursions,
yeah.
And the one with Gray Line got canceled because there was mechanical problems with the boat.
Ooh.
So that was that. They refunded us, and so it was like 8:30 or no, it was like 9:15 or so.
Uh-huh.
I had left the hotel, and I went over that way. That was my first stop. To, like, map stuff out. You know, I went over there. I said, now I'm going to meet the bus around here, right? And she said, no, it's canceled. And so
Whoa.
She said, you Glover? So I'm, like, the last one because they didn't have a phone number, only the home.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, and they gave me my paperwork with my name at the top. I don't have to call anybody or anything. It's refunded. And they gave me that paperwork, and we stapled it to my booking. But, you know, that was okay because that just gave me, I told her, I said, that gave me more time. I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, sleepy and stuff.
Sure.
Shoot, that just gave me more time. So what I did. At the mall, they have a downtown mall.
Uh-huh.
I got my hair cut.
All right.
And I got an acupressure massage.
Okay.
So that filled that time up.
Yeah.
Had to go around to, like, the visitor center and a few places that I wanted to, like, see or go to.
Right.
So that filled that time up right there.
Yeah, the Fifth Avenue Mall. I know exactly. And
yep.
The visitor center used to have grass on top of the roof. I don't know if it still does, but that was
I think so.
Yeah, that was the big
thing. Yeah, I think so. And it's nice in there. They give you 2 free postcards.
Well, good.
And they mail them for you. I thought
that
was nice. And so, then it's another public land office with a lot of information all around there. And they had the pamphlet for the bus with all the buses.
Mm-hmm.
And the next trip, the next trip was on Monday. But man, it was rainy in Whittier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you could hardly see stuff, and I fell asleep. So it's like they seat you on the first 2 levels. That's where you sit at because you're going to have a little free lunch. And you want to sit there, and that's your seat in case you want to leave your bag, if you got a bag or something. Like, your bag might have a raincoat or whatever, and or a camera or whatever. And so my seat was right at the bow. That's okay. The front. Okay. And so we had good seats because we was at the bow. Mm-hmm. You know, we was at the front of the boat. And so and my seat was right at the window. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep two times.
Wow.
Propped up on the ledge there of the, sitting in my seat with the ledge with the window. Because if you're sleepy, you're going to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what they mean, fall asleep at the wheel. You're going to fall asleep if you're sleepy. It'll come over you. So I fell asleep twice, so I might have missed some stuff.
So which glacier tour did you take? Did you take 26 glaciers or which one?
Okay, so the Monday trip was with 26 glaciers.
Yeah, that's the 26 glaciers, 26. Yeah, that's
well,
Phelps.
I didn't see them all. So like I say, I fell asleep two times.
Yeah.
I don't know what we saw, but what I did see, I had to see it mainly from inside because it was rainy, mm-hmm. and one of my seatmates bought the binoculars for $5 so I could look through that through the window.
Mm.
But I'm going to tell you, looking at the YouTube,
yeah.
on the YouTube of the trip was better than being on the trip.
Well, yeah, the weather can certainly play havoc with you. Now, you drove down from Fairbanks to Anchorage, right?
Okay, from Fairbanks to Anchorage, I took this Alaska Railroad okay. Gold Star Premium service.
So did you...
12 hours.
Was the weather good enough that you saw Mount Denali?
Yeah. Okay. We saw it. It wasn't raining coming down. It was nice.
Good.
And the best part about the train is they have a balcony where you could go outside. Oh, man, all that good fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You could breathe it. It's going through your hair. Oh, man. That's the best part.
Good.
It was the best part of that.
Good.
And So I was just glad that I was able to get around with no sweat, you know.
Yeah.
It was easier. It was easier than I knew. Everything was easy with no worries or nothing.
Yeah.
And the airport, getting back to the airport, and nothing. Everything was a breeze like that. So
good.
No, because I've never been to these places, you know.
And probably never will be again.
Well, yeah, because it's like I had asked myself, would I be going back to Anchorage? Because you know what, Riley? I did think that in the wintertime, I would have flown to Anchorage and took the train from Anchorage to Fairbanks. That's in the winter, because in the winter, you get like half price in your discount.
Oh, of okay? course you do, but it's the winter. And Anchorage can be okay in the winter, but Fairbanks is downright miserable.
Okay, so when I said it like that, it's because I'm still after these lights, okay? So I haven't quite given up, you know, trying to go see these lights and see them better than I saw them. So that's what I was going to do. But, man, the train wasn't all that. So, once again, looking on the YouTube at the train, because, see, you could go all over the train and look at the other cars where it's like regular seating and stuff. And because I went there saying, well, let me go see exactly what their windows and their view is, because maybe you come back, you don't want to pay Gold Star Premium.
Yeah.
But it was ratty down there,
mm-mm.
smelly over there in those cars. Ew.
Yeah.
So I'm like, So, no, right. So I probably will not have to go back to Anchorage for anything.
Well, you can see them in America, that's for sure. You just got to go the right places.
Well... you know, I'm learning because in Fairbanks, I talked to a man that does the thing, take you out, and he was explaining to me that what you want to know is we're going to Google when is there a full moon, because you have to go around the full moon. I got written down what he told me.
Right.
So when you know the full moon, then you're either going to go, you're going to go 2 weeks before, after, whatever.
Right, because you want the new moon. You want it to be dark as possible.
Right, and so I'm to call him back around August, because I was thinking of going the top of October, okay? Won't be no harsh weather before the first snow. So he's going to be looking it up, and then I'm going to see what he say. And he's a photographer, and I might go back in October, like I say, it'd just be for maybe 5 days or something, and take him out. But then I learned in Anchorage at the visitor center was a nice old man, retired, and he was telling me he worked at Prudhoe Bay.
Oh,
so he had information for me.
Yeah,
and
well.
He said, yeah, I saw the lights up there. You're going to see them great up there. He said, I flew through planes up there to see them like that. And he worked with the oil business up there. He retired from that. So he gave me information. You know,
you could also go to Yellowknife in Canada, Aurora Village.
Right, and I was telling him I was going to go there. Actually, he didn't hear about Yellowknife. Yup, yup. And you know, well, remember, I think I had told you I was supposed to go to Dawson City. You said, no, you can't fly there. So, yeah, Canada was where I was going to originally go. Because, like I told you before, I'm so stuck on Canada.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to Canada to see the light. Well, that's on my agenda, too. But I'm going to fine-tune this. Because you don't want to go and book trips, and then you don't see nothing because you haven't really fine-tuned it.
It's atmospheric, so you do the best you can, and every year it's different. They do the predictions. They kind of tell you what they think it'll be when, but it's like a weather forecast. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to do my best to, you know what I need to know, so I just won't. All right, let's, because like now I know you don't really want to go in November, December, or January, so you can skip them. See? So skip them winter months. Skip that. You could go mid-February. March is excellent to go. Okay?
Yeah.
And the top of October. The top of it. So I got the times right.
Well, good. Yeah, there's several places to see it. And, you know, I've seen them many, many times, but all I ever see is green. I have never gotten to see the full complement of colors.
Yeah, the purple.
Yeah, right. I just get green. That's all I get.
I saw a pastel pink.
Oh, that's nice.
Pastel pink.
Yeah.
But, so I guess I'll be going back to Fairbanks. I just got to, you know, because, you know, you're laying out quite a little bit of money doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like at Fairbanks, my hotel, you know, I got to investigate this. So, the first two floors, two and three, you know, you could open your window. So, I had window. I had fresh air.
Nice.
So, the first two floors, you know, the window's open. I don't know if that's at every hotel or smaller hotels or what.
I don't know.
But you could open the window on the first two floors of the hotel.
Huh. All right.
And I stayed there on points. No money.
Well, you're traveling enough to do it. That's for sure.
But look, I had to. I'm dishing out $2,589.44 for my 4-day stay at Marriott.
Oh my God! Which Marriott was it?
Downtown Anchorage.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, it's pricey.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I put some more rollers in my hair.
Yeah.
I got to get up 5:30 to do my yoga on TV.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, you're more ambitious than I am, but thanks for the review, and I'm glad you had a good time.
Yep.
All right.
All right, later.
Okay,
later,
thanks.
Later.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. Living large. Yeah. Like I say, I'm usually like at the Puffin Inn or something. Yeah. Or in Spinard. If you're from Anchorage, you know. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Rita is in Harwood Heights. We were going over St. Anthony. Yeah, please come around. Something is lost that cannot be found. So, Rita, did you find it?
I didn't find mine. It's been lost for a long time. It's a paper that a relative had made out for me.
Yeah.
And I can always call and get another copy probably, but no, I never found my copy of that, and I never found the money from the bank. I have a bad habit of when I get money from the bank, I don't take it all with me into the grocery stores. I hide it in the car. Well, I can't find that either. But I got St. Jude as well as St. Anthony working on that.
Okay.
So I figure the two of them together.
Wow.
Can't miss.
How big is the car?
It's just a passenger car, four-door.
All right. Well, you know, there can't be that many places.
My car is so junky. I practically live in there. I don't have a washer dryer, so my laundry goes in the back seat, and the groceries, of course, are there. And I don't have right now. I'm waiting to get a stove and refrigerator. So I've got a lot of stuff, just stuff in there, you know. And I had a lot of newspapers. I was grabbing up the newspapers and throwing them into the garbage. I'm just afraid I did that. with the money. But it maybe
oh,
not.
No,
maybe
I
I'll
hope
still
not.
Find it.
Oh, man, yeah. I hope not. And I know how easy that can happen.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is with the mail.
Yes.
We have had problems with our mail here. We're just a little one-mile village on the other side of Norwich.
Uh-huh.
And our city council and all are very, very much involved. But our mayor got so upset because of the poor mail delivery and then the lost mail, so-called lost mail, and the washing of the checks and all. She went over there to the post office. She put one of these orange cone, things in right by the mailboxes, because I think there are three mailboxes there. And a great big sign that said, mail at your own
risk. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Because here in Chicago, they have been not only just stealing mail from the boxes, but they have actually, in the middle of the night, they'll come and they haul off the entire box.
What?
Yes. And I watched.
That's hilarious. How do they get it out of the cement?
I don't know, with cranes or whatever. I don't. One night I was doing something somewhere near the post office, and I saw this man walking his little dog, and he had a stick. On the end of the stick was a nail. And he went, and this was around the time when the census all had to be, put into the boxes.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him go into the box, put that stick in there, and he pulled out a whole lot of mail. And then he saw me looking at him, and he hustled off.
Oh, wow.
I inquired. I said, well, aren't there cameras around here? I don't know where else, in the United States, if they have security cameras, but around here they do not.
No, most rarely, very few places. Oh, man.
But the stealing and the washing of the checks and all is very frequent here. I've had things mailed, and then I get a late charge out of the comment or something
right.
And then I call them and they say, no, we never got your check.
Mm-hmm.
But
then what? When you get your bank statement, did somebody cash it?
It doesn't show up.
Okay, so then at least nobody cashed it.
Yeah, we don't know where. Yeah, but you have to wait, and then maybe the next one or two mailings it might come through. I don't know.
I think the danger is when you get your statement and it's cashed, and Con Ed or whatever isn't the company to get it.
Yeah. So then I went over to Staples.
Yeah.
And they have a certain type of a pen. It's not the usual gel pen. It's a very special one where they cannot. They cannot wash the check.
Interesting.
If you use that type of a pen. So that's what I've been using lately.
Yeah.
You have to ask for it special, but they'll get it for you if you ask. And the other thing I was wondering, I don't always get to tune in every night for the whole program, but I was wondering what happened with the. Scotty, that band was going to go back.
Oh, he did. Yeah, I know. We got all sorts of information about Scotty, and it was interesting. He got a lot of information and a lot of, saw a lot of documents. And the one thing about Scotty is it was 100% good. Scotty was just a good person. He donated a lot of money to charity. He was religious. Nobody had an unkind thing to say about Scotty. His personal life was really tough. His first wife died when she was 37 years old, and he had four or five kids. And then he was with somebody else for years who also died. And beyond that, Scotty was a very private person. So I'm not about to tell any tales out of school, but I will tell you that everything was good. Not anything that was uncovered was anything other than something for which Scotty could be proud. So it was the kind of life that was tough enough that most people would have been hardened. But Scotty always had a smile on his face and a song in his heart. And it was just a testament to how good he was. He went into the hospital. He had already prepaid a funeral many years earlier. And he didn't want to list any contact people. So that was it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still playing his song?
Oh, of course.
You could play one of his tonight.
I will try to. I am, not every night, but I do play all of his requests from time to time. So, yeah, I won't be forgetting that. And we'll get some audio on soon, as soon as I find the time to do it.
Okay. So, well, I really enjoy your program. Well, I don't sleep well. I have this insomnia problem.
Oh, don't we all?
I go for days without any sleep. But I have a lot of pain. That's why part of it. But
sorry to hear that.
But it's a... Yeah, I just love listening to your program.
Well, it is great to
and
have
then
you.
After you.
Yeah.
Pardon?
You say after me what?
Oh, after that, then I tune into Toronto for the Zoom.
Oh, okay. There you go. 7:40 a.m. You betcha.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, it's good to talk to you, Rita. Call me anytime.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right. So
we'll
find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio News on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More on Gold Wax, which was a Memphis label, by the way. The Ovations, I believe. I'll Go Back Home, 1968 on Gold Wax. And actually, I played it because I saw that Johnny in Austin was saying he wants to talk about the Ovations. I said, well, let's hear some, shall we? All right, so Johnny is back on WGN Radio. Thanks for calling.
Hey, well, you know, I was thinking about the Ovations today. Funny you did play James Carr on the Gold Wax label.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, there must be a reason for me to be calling tonight because I heard the Ovations, and, you know, they reminded me so much of Sam Cooke. Wasn't their lead singer somebody named Lewis Williams?
Yeah, the Ovations were interesting, and Gold Wax was interesting, too, by the way, as far as that goes. But, yeah, they had been the Del Rios, so there was, I think, Lewis Williams and Rochester Neal and Quincy Billups, and there were some other people.
Well, the song the first song I ever heard by them was called It's Wonderful to Be in Love from 65.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And that really caught me, too. But, you know, they also emerged again in the early 70s. I can't remember the label now.
MGM for a while. They were also on SOM Sounds of Memphis, but then they were on MGM.
But they had a couple of really good songs in the early 70s when I was at KYOK. One was called Touching Me.
Okay, yeah, that was SOM, Sound of Memphis.
And the other one, I finally bought the CDs on these things, and the other was a really good one called So Nice to Be Loved by You.
Yep, it came out right before Touching Me. Also,
another really good one was called Soul Train.
Okay, now that I don't know. What was it? A flip side?
I don't know because I got the CD, but I'd heard these songs for years, either on YouTube or maybe I probably had some of the singles too. But I thought that group was just really good.
Well, they were. Now, that's in Soul Train, I've just never heard, so I'll have to go look
It's a very catchy little song. I mean, it's check it out sometime.
Yeah, I will.
It's just, their stuff was just real good, and it had a Sam Cooke feel to me.
Yes, it absolutely did, 100%. And, yeah, it's interesting. Not sure that that hurt them or helped them as far as that goes. But they had originally been the Del Rios, and that was interesting as well. And you can hear some of that stuff, including a little bit on Stax and on Meteor before that. So, yeah, I thought they were great. And I thought Gold Wax was great. It was only around for like 4 or 5 years. And the two guys who owned it, one was a hardware store guy who also had been a session guy at Sun, and he had co-founded High in the 50s.
Oh, really?
And the reason I remember Gold Wax is they had their offices on Chelsea Avenue, and it wasn't far from the offices of Charlie Rich's business manager, Cy Rosenberg, also on Chelsea Avenue. So, yes, know that. But I think they put out, you know, about 60 records, maybe. And, you know, it was eventually distributed by Bell, which helped them because at least it was distributed by someone. And
well, in my hand right now, I have a compilation CD of Gold Wax called Echoes of Yesteryear, Volume 1.
Okay.
And it's got O.V. Wright on
yes.
it.
Yes, yes, of
well,
course.
That's how strong my love is.
Okay.
It's got two James Carrs, my adorable one, and what can I call you? What can I call you my own? I can't read right now, apparently. Okay. Oh, it's wonderful to be in love.
Yeah. And you got Spencer.
Pretty Little Angel. I don't know. I'll be there. Somebody named Willie Hightower?
Oh, of course. Not somebody. That's a big name. Spencer Wiggins is probably on there, too.
No, he's not.
Really?
Percy Milam?
Okay.
And Ollie Nightingale.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But
and I don't know where in the world I picked this up. I'd never seen it since. And I bought it because of The Ovations. Is wonderful to be in love. That's
right.
What I wanted.
Right. No, I can
And then that I Believe I'll Go Back Home that you played was after It's Wonderful to Be in Love. But I really like that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I was at Epic, one of the guys we had on the label was O.B. McClinton. And
I know that name.
Yeah, he was a black guy. But originally, he had been a writer for Gold Wax. And he was the one who, in the early 70s, I was lamenting about how good LAC's R&B it was at night. But, you know, why isn't any of this here, you know, on Music Row, which it wasn't. He said, let me take you for a drive. He took me to the other side of Nashville. I'm like, damn, I'm coming back here. And so it was just great. But yeah, so Gold Wax was a pretty hot label. But yeah, Willie Hightower was big.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember the name, but I can't really put him with any song that I can think of.
Well, not any hits, but there were a lot of Willie Hightower records as far as that goes. He, you know, I'm sure you could just look at discos and do that. But Willie Hightower was, you know, not a contemporary of ours. Willie Hightower was probably born in the 1890s or something. I mean, it's a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Born in Chicago, I think. He was a jazz cornetist, a trumpeter, and he went to New Orleans and was there. And he was, you know, doing basically black vaudeville. Really, really neat as far as that goes. So that's the original Willie Hightower. So,
Well, that's probably why I don't know too much about him, because he goes, well, way, way back.
Well, now you got another one, though. You got Willie Hightower, who is an R&B singer, which is much later, a guy from Gadsden, Alabama. And
maybe that's what I'm confused.
He was on Fury. And in the 60s, though, you know, not the time to be on Fury. He was on Fury then, and he was on Capitol, and he wound up in Muscle Shoals, and he did a few things for Fame, Yeah, but no, he was around, and he was probably, I'd say, from the mid-60s to the latter 70s, he was putting out records.
Now, which Willie are we talking about the one on Gold Wax?
Well, he was on Fury and Capitol and Gold Wax and Fame, like I say, and you name it, Soundstage 7. He was on...
Oh, yeah, I know that one, yeah.
Yeah, of course, that's Fred Foster's label with Monument, exactly, the one that John Richburg ran. John R.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
way down south in Dixon.
Yeah, exactly right. That's right. White Rose Petroleum Jelly, 101 uses, and you know what that one is for.
You know, before he died, somebody put out some information that if any of the disc jockeys, the current jocks in the 80s, wanted to talk to him, I think he was dying of cancer.
You had cancer, yeah.
And he was doing interviews, yeah. And I generally don't forget things, but I don't recall if I called him or not. I would think if I did, I would remember.
His medical expenses got very high, and there were benefits for him as well, and they put out some CDs and some air check CDs, records and stuff, and then early CDs, air check stuff as well, because they were doing all they could to help raise him money.
Did you know him?
I knew him, but I didn't know him. In other words, I met him a few times. It wasn't a friend or anything like that. I didn't work directly with him. But yes, absolutely, I met John Ara. And he left...
Those guys were legends, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he left LAC while I was there, and they had Spider replace him, Spider Harrison. And
oh, that's very vague.
Yeah, it's so funny because all the original guys were all white and Spider was not. And so Spider was there for a couple of years, right until then they hired, what was his name? Ken Burkhardt as consultant, and they did away with the R&B. They went, you know, top 40 around the clock.
Oh, you know, that must have been, 72, 73?
No, that was like 76.
Well, I remember turning that station on and hearing Living in the Past by Jethro Tull, and I just about flipped out.
Well, they probably, by 75, were consulted by him, but 76, I think, is when they pulled the plug on the nighttime R&B.
Yeah.
But it was sad.
That was really sad.
But, yeah, it was Spider Harrison was the guy who replaced John Ara. And, Randy's Record Shop, Gallatin, Tennessee. And
I used to order from Randy's.
Me too. I love those.
Was it Randy? Yeah, they're the ones that put out the catalog, wasn't it?
Yeah, them and Ernie's Record Mart. And that was the guy who owned Accello Records, Ernie Young, in downtown Nashville. So Ernie's Record Mart and Randy's Record Shop in Gallatin. And then there was also Stan the Man in Louisiana, the guy who owned Paula Records. He had Stan Lewis. He had an incredible mail order thing going on out of Shreveport. So those were the three. But I love those specials because it would be like the Blue Light Special, and they'd play. Right, exactly. But the best part was the records that were flops because they'd mill you a dozen records, and 10 of them no one had ever heard of, and those were the ones that usually there was just a gem in those.
I know. It was always a surprise.
And
I'd get those COD,
of course. Oh, that's so funny you say that. John didn't even know what COD was. We were talking about that the other night. I said, oh my God, how do you not know? And because, of course, Huggy Boy in L.A. on, Mexico, XERB, and then they changed it to Express. But he would do the same kind of mail order packages where, you'd get 10 long playing records for $4 or whatever. Well, the interesting thing was he had a side hustle where he would deliver the COD thing so he'd make the COD money. So he'd show up in person with your records.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty different.
Yeah, it really was. So, and they were great because obviously they were pressing 45s to disc and royalties be damned. And so the labels never meant anything if there were labels. And some didn't have artists on them, And I mean, it was just, I still have them because it's sort of like exemplar number two if there was ever going to be a court action. But it was all bootleg, but some of the best stuff.
Oh God, there's so much stuff out there. I was while we were talking, I was trying to look up and find the CD of that other label with the Ovations on it, and I've got a little flashlight here in the dark, and I can't find it. But I did run across a group called the Spiders. Do you remember, this is going way back now, the Spiders song called Bells in My Heart?
Yes, yes. Let me see if I can find that. Hang on a minute, and we will pick it up right there on WGN Radio. I think John said I had a break. Do I not have a break? Well, we're going to find out, I guess. I'm pretty sure we have a break. I guess I look for the Spiders while we find out if Adam is not listening, or if I'm not listening, or somebody's not listening. I don't know. I don't know which one it is. So yeah, it's sort of like that. So in the meantime, I'll just I don't know, Johnny. I thought I was supposed to break, but maybe I'm not. So looking for.
I don't even know what time it is. Does anybody really know what time it is?
Oh God, don't even start. although you're in the right market for it. That's for sure. But I don't have them on this computer, unfortunately.
Do you have Soul Train by the Ovations, or the other Ovations are Touching Me or So Nice to Be Loved by You?
I'll tell you what I got by the Ovations, and Adam can interrupt us if we in fact have that. I got Touching Me, Wonderful to Be in Love, Having a Party Medley, Day We Fell in Love. What else is on that?
So Nice to Be Loved by You? No?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Let's see. I believe I'll go back home. Let's see. Wonderful. No, So Nice to Be Loved by You is not on there, but Touching Me is.
So, that's good.
Yeah, so we'll play some of that until we figure out what I'm supposed to be doing here, since I thought I was supposed to be breaking.
Okay.
So this is a break on WGN Radio. Chuck and Chick Carbo, the Spiders that Johnny was just talking about. And once again, we pretty much ended the show, so can we do this again soon?
Oh, will I be hearing this again soon?
Yes, well, will you be calling again soon? Because actually Gary from Austin is calling, saying, I have a lot of memories of listening to Johnny Goin, so you will have to call us soon so we can talk about that.
Oh, well, sure. Any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Right. I got this 2-CD set of the Spiders here that I bought in Austin about 20 years ago.
Oh, neat. What's your favorite?
The Imperial Sessions.
Yes.
It's great. It's got everything on it they ever did.
Yes, the Imperial was absolutely the best. It was Cosmo Matassa who set him up with Lou Chud for that. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we'll talk soon. Thank you, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. And apologies to Gary and Austin. Call back tomorrow night. We'll do it all again. 21 hours from now, we will do it again. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Johnny and Nick and everybody else, much appreciated. So until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.